Welcome to Journal Club for December 26th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. You're in a product planning meeting. Under normal circumstances, you'd be struggling to stay awake. But this is a meeting you've actually been looking forward to. After months of requirements gathering, scoping, and architecture reviews, you're finally about to get the go-ahead to build that new API that you've been dreaming about. And your plans are a thing of beauty. Buckets, block stores, caches, servers, serverless functions, edge functions, relational databases, key value stores, document stores, queues, VPCs, load balancers, the works. It took you months to plan, but you've got it all specced out. At the very end of the meeting, the product manager asks what they think is a simple question. As far as our cloud hosting bills go, how much is this all going to cost? Womp womp. The honest answer is, I have no idea. But you don't feel comfortable saying that, so instead you just mumble something about it being cheaper in some ways but more expensive in others, and that everything will likely cancel out in the end. The truth is, as engineers, we rarely think about infrastructure costs. But once an application reaches a certain scale, or when a startup runs out of free credits, we no longer have a choice. We have to think about it. We need to be able to predict financial costs just as accurately as we can predict uptime and load speeds. Off-the-shelf calculators, like the kind that the cloud host provides, are fine for small things, but if you need to predict the cost of dozens or hundreds of interconnected pieces of infrastructure, you need something more robust. You need a financial model. The question is, how do you do that? How do you build one of those? That's what today's paper is all about. In it, they're offering an approach that is capable of optimizing single clusters, hybrid clouds, and even multi-clouds. But not just optimizing for price. This model is capable of optimizing for performance, availability, and other quality of service metrics as well. Here's their technique in a nutshell. They model all of your cloud resources as nodes in a weighted graph. They set costs, or whatever you're optimizing for, as the edges, and use Dijkstra's algorithm to solve for the shortest distance between the nodes. If that made no sense to you, don't worry about it. We're about to dive into it. We're going to start by reviewing Dijkstra's algorithm, then we'll take a look at how their graph model represents your infrastructure in a solvable way. Lastly, we'll look at the results they obtained with this technique. Dijkstra's algorithm. Let's say you live in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Airport code CNX. You're going on vacation to the Galapagos Islands. Airport code GPS. There's no commercial way to get there directly. You're looking at 3 to 4 stops minimum, and upwards of 60 hours of travel time. Brutal. But there's a huge number of cities you could choose to have your layovers in. Think of each possible layover destination as pins in a map. If you're planning your journey, you're taking a piece of string and connecting those pins to each other. Eventually, there needs to be an uninterrupted series of strings connecting Chiang Mai to the Galapagos. But you're not just looking for the shortest total length of string. Each individual piece of string, each leg of your journey, has a set of costs and benefits associated with it. Financial costs, time costs, comfort costs, etc. To decide which route to take, you first need to decide what you value. What are you optimizing for? Lowest total cost? Shortest total travel time? Maximum comfort? Etc. Let's say you chose cheapest total cost. You'll first need to narrow down to a set of cities that are not dead ends. Then you need to figure out what the price is from where you are to each of those points. Then you'll need to imagine that you went to each one of those points and figure out what your options would be once you got there. As you move forward through this process, leg by leg or string by string, you'll encounter pins you've already visited before and strings you've already priced out. You don't need to think about those twice. You've already calculated those prices, so you can skip them. Eventually, you'll end up with several different routes that take you all the way to the destination, and you'll know the price, the total price, for each one. This, in essence, is Dijkstra's algorithm. It finds the best path from a starter node in a graph to all others, or to a specific node, minimizing the costs or optimizing for some other value or combination of values along the way. As you probably guessed in our analogy here, the layover cities are nodes in a graph, and the flights connecting them are edges. The label and cost of the edge is dependent on what you're optimizing for. Back to the cloud infrastructure problem. How did the authors represent cloud architecture as the kind of graph that could be solved by Dijkstra's algorithm? The first thing to understand is that the system is conceptualized as a bunch of components passing data to each other. Let's say a user makes a post request to your API. That data gets sent to load balancers, which pass it to a gateway, which pass it to a server or a serverless function, which pass something else to the data stores or queues, etc. A different set of data might then need to make its way back to the user, or out to another user, or down to a log. Each of these pieces of your cloud is a node. The edges are the costs associated with moving that data. So really, it's the same as the travel example. The layover cities have been replaced with cloud components, and the planes have been replaced with data. Instead of a plane going from one city to another, your data is going from one component to another, and there are costs and benefits associated with each of those, quote-unquote, flights. This type of model becomes particularly useful at scale, that is, when you have servers in different availability zones and regions, edge nodes all over the place, or even systems running redundantly on multiple cloud providers. Models like this don't just help you predict what your costs are going to be. They help you minimize those costs. They show you not only what it will cost for requests to be processed, but how the data should travel in each situation to minimize those costs or optimize for some other meaningful metric. That's what makes a model so much more powerful than a calculator. And that's what they built. The authors applied this model to a number of hypothetical scenarios to see how well it worked. Data pipelines, hybrid cloud environments, multi-cloud environments, big data infrastructure, and others. Here's how it did. Their new system consistently delivered cost-efficient resource configurations. In a single region data pipeline, the system reduced total deployment costs compared to baseline models by strategically selecting the right compute and storage resources. For multi-region pipelines, it optimized inter-region network transfer costs by minimizing unnecessary data movement between regions. In a big data workflow spanning multiple regions, the system reduced total operation costs by balancing compute, storage, and network expenses. They did this all while adhering to stringent SLAs. And in hybrid and multi-cloud environments, they significantly reduced overall deployment expenses. The exact numbers for all these savings, because they were hypothetical scenarios. What does matter is that this technique was able to achieve some type of cost savings versus the baselines. You can imagine how meaningful these types of savings have the potential to be when you're running at scale. If your application isn't that big yet, then it's quite possible that this kind of cost modeling is overkill for you right now. But if your system and users are growing, there will come a time when this kind of exercise might be extremely useful for you. So, whether you think you need it or not, I'd recommend that you download the paper, familiarize yourself with these techniques, and review the details of their implementation. It might just save your firm a great deal of money someday. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.